We have a treat this afternoon, and we're going to talk about sports and the blind and how we interact. So up first, we were going to Skype in two of our members, our newest members, Daniel and Tabia Meyer. Well, Tabia Meyer and Daniel Belding, and they're now married, so Mr. and Mrs. Belding. So they weren't able to be Skyped in, so we have a another young lady in their place that's going to talk about cross-country skiing and downhill skiing. And she's a blind person. And, guys, she has been the artist that has been showing tactile art and sketch scripture board outside. I'm sure some of you guys have seen that. And also, I want to thank her and the volunteers that came with her. Let's give them a big hand because they've been very, very helpful. And we're glad they came to our convention. So to talk about downhill skiing and being a blind person doing it, here is Janet Palmerta.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Ron. I appreciate it. And as Ron said, we're at the JW.org table outside, and come see us. I hope you feel the tactile art. It's just fantastic. But I have been a blind skier for more years than I would like to really admit to you. I probably started around 1969. And I've loved skiing, and I really do enjoy the outdoors. But as a blind skier, I started skiing in Hunter Mountain, New York. And you can tell my New York accent, I'm sure. But anyway, skiing is a wonderful sport. I know here in Indiana you have, what is it called, Perfect North Slope? Is that it? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's only 800 feet. So I do believe it's a little slope, maybe a little bit of a pimple. But Winter Park, Colorado has skiing for the blind. And they have outstanding teachers. I can't even tell you. And if none of you have skied, Winter Park has a program that's beautiful. And if you're familiar with Alabama NFB, Larry Povinelli, he helps. Okay, everybody knows Larry. He does skiing for the Ski for Life. It's a wonderful program. But I just want to share with you that I love downhill skiing. So there's a difference between cross country and downhill. And what I'm doing outside is my volunteer work. I love you all. That's why I'm here from Georgia with the Bible literature for making it spirituality accessible. But my work is I'm a blind tour guide. So I bring tours to Europe, the Middle East, China. Europe is my forte. But my favorite tours are the ski tours because I'm bringing sighted people to the Alps skiing. My tour groups are sighted people, and actually somebody with me happens to be here. I haven't seen in many years, almost a decade, but she's been on many of my tours as a sighted person, and some of my tours she's been with me are my ski trips.
Absolutely. I met Janet in the 80s. My husband and I moved to New York, and we were volunteers for the headquarters of Jehovah's Witnesses, and anyways, we found out that Janet took ski tours, and my husband and I love downhill skiing. So we went to Mount Snow and a few places, but then we went with them to Switzerland. And this is a kind of a scary, funny story, but we went up. I don't know if you folks know about the movie with James Bond.
Her Majesty's Secret Service, James Bond.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got it, the first one.
And there it was filmed. The movie 007. Anyways, where it was filmed was a restaurant on top of the mountain, and it was called Pea's Gloria. And our dear Janet wanted me to ski down it. And I says, Janet, I can't ski down that. You know, I'll kill myself. It's so steep. And she says, Kathy, I would never have you ski down anything that you couldn't handle. And I says, Janet, you can't see it. You're blind. You know, and anyways, my husband skied down it, but Janet, you skied down it, didn't you? Yeah.
I've skied down it many times. The problem with sighted people, Kathy, is... Let me tell you, the problem with sighted people is what they're seeing scares the heck out of them. And when you're skiing on the Piz Gloria, where James Bond had his shootout, you know it was a steep, very high, steep slope at about 11,000 feet high. And the incline had a 7,000-foot drop on one side and the 7,000-foot drop on the other side. And
now you know why I was scared.
And I said, Kathy, just stay down the middle. Don't go near the edge. But when you're sighted and you can see that drop... I guess it scares them. So
terrifies.
So that, yeah, more accurate, Ron says. So that's kind of like, not only do I take people on these ski tours, very often I'm giving ski instructions and lessons and teaching sighted people how to ski. But I've done a lot of ski racing, and I was telling Ron the other day that I've raced against a lot of blind skiers and won a lot of gold medals in my ski racing. I ski behind a guide because I have a little bit of sight. I have to stay close behind the guide. So if my guide is good, I win. If my guide really stinks, I lose the race. But my favorite and my most proud of one ski race I did in Colorado, because it was not against... It was not against blind skiers. I raced in a sighted race, and I won a second-place trophy. And, of course, I have to wear my bib. It says blind skier. And my daughter said, when you got up to win the trophy, all those other women that got beat by the blind skier were so mad. But I was very proud for the blind community to win that race. That's my second place. Should I tell them about the Germans? Okay. So when I was skiing in another place in Austria, I have a guide and I stay behind them, and they dictate to me, stay left, stay right, because I'm an advanced skier. And so as long as there's no trees on the slope, I can handle the slope myself. And basically, if I have a good guide, they'll tell me if something is in my way. I just stay down the center of the slope and I nail it. So we were at the top of a slope, and my guide went around a group of 10 Germans, and he went to the left, and of course, I stay straight until I hear a call, and I smashed through these 10 Germans like they were bowling pins and I was a bowling ball, and they fell everywhere, and I flew over them. When I landed, in ski language, they call it a garage sale, because you lose your skis, your poles, your hat, your gloves, everything of mine was all over the slope, and the German man screamed at me, "What, are you blind?" And then when I got up and after I could breathe, the wind was knocked out of me, and I started wiping myself off, he saw blind skier. Blind is the same in German. They just say blind. And the man went, "Oh my, ach, du lieber, what you doing here?" So after I got my breath, I said, "Well, I thought I was skiing, but my guide forgot to tell me you were there." So we've had many, many ski stories, many experiences. One article I wrote was called "There Are Two Sides to Every Ski Button Story." It was on the NFB. I published it. But "There Are Two Sides to Every Ski Button Story" is a very funny article. I hope that many of you can find it. If you do, it's under Janet Denola Parmeter or Janet Parmeter, whatever, but it's a good ski story. So,
thank you, Janet.
Go, you're welcome, Ron.
Oh, wonderful.
And come out to our table, and we'll give you some chocolate too.
Yeah, chocolate's for everybody. Just don't give them to the dog. Yeah. All right. Up next in blind sports and rec. Up next, Blind Sports and Rec, we're going to hear from a sport that's near and dear to my heart, and it keeps It keeps me on the ground and not on ski slopes, although I do want to try skiing. Yeah, before I get too old, I want to try it. But nevertheless, you done it? All right. We are going to hear from the general manager and the coach of the three-time world champions, Indy Thunder, Darnell Booker.
What a good turnout, guys. Thanks for having me. I mean, for a couple years when I spoke here, the turnout today is a lot better than what it has been. And this is I appreciate the NFB having us finish having me out speaking, and I because you guys the both chapters support Indy Thunder Beat Baseball, but I've been involved in Beat Baseball since 1985, a long time. So, but I'm here to just talk about it. Where I have everybody, there's a lot of representation in this room with the Indy Thunder. So before I talk on it a little bit, I want to get those guys' perspective, because it takes not only the players but everybody from the top to the bottom to have a first-class organization. And I'll tell you, I mean, everybody is, you know, from the top all the way to the bottom. That's why we've been so successful the last several years. And, you know, our team started in January of 2000, and we've been really successful since after the, you know, we've been successful. We've always been a top 10 organization. Only one year we fell out of the top 10, but to build a great organization, you got to have everybody understanding their roles from the top to the bottom. But I want to, before I, you know, because it's not really about, you know, myself, but it's about our whole organization as a whole, and I think that's why we're successful. So they can give a couple minutes of speaking. I put a couple of them on the spot, but that's okay. They should come up and tell you guys about being a part of a first-class organization, Indy Thunder. First of all, he doesn't even know he's going to talk, but he's the president of our board of directors, Ron Brown, and then we'll hand. Then I got a few more people that's in here. We're going to talk. Then I'll finish it up. Just let them know. Just let the NFB knows. Just explain to them what the board of directors. Just being a part of a great organization. So Ron Brown for a minute.
John. Of course, you know, I've been playing beat ball since 1983, so there you go. Beat baseball is very important to the lives of the blind, especially when I lost my vision. I thought that organized sport was not in my future, and so having the opportunity to play an organized sport like this, it was just eye-opening, if you will. And so I joined the team, joined a league of blind people that we host every year, which is called the National Association of Beat Baseball and NBBA Associate. And so we meet every year and play different regional tournaments, and we play different teams from around the country, and we do a good job. As Darnell said, we have had some success in the past, and we've had very good success, and I'm not going to talk about that. I want these other players to talk about it. But needless to say, our board of directors and our team is very structured. I've been elected the president of our organization, Indy Thunder, and we have a bunch of board members, Barb McIntyre and Dave Taylor and who else? Chip Arbogast and all those guys, they're on our board, and we help try to run a mean, clean board that we try to put policies in place for the young kids on our team. They range from age 12, I believe. How old is Alex? 14 to 55 is probably our oldest player. And so we put together a good structure and a good foundation for those guys to follow. So that's what we do as a board of directors, and we have a lot of fun doing it.
Thank you, Mr. Brown, for that. That's you know, the board of directors, I'm sure that, as you guys know, all your boards, that you guys govern your organization, govern your your chapter, what have you, but like the board of directors here governs the NFB on the state level. So that's basically what our team does. So we're going to get from a volunteer's perspective. I want her to come up and talk. Is Ronnie in here? Just to give, you know, because volunteers are very important. I always say without volunteers, beat baseball would not happen. So from, because we definitely need volunteers to help our players come to and from practice, take them to and from the games. But just, I want her to talk about, you know, being a volunteer and what it means to her for volunteering and being a part of our organization. So Ronnie Higdon, I know it was, that's for the moment, but I wanted you to spark on, I know. Ronnie Higdon, a volunteer. And tell them what you do, scorekeeper and all that stuff.
Hello. I don't want to bite them. Okay. I really enjoy being a part of the Indy Thunder, the whole beatball organization. I'm an official scorekeeper now for them. I've been a member with the team probably 5 years now. It's just a great organization. It's more of a family type atmosphere than I think. We're all there for one another. I don't know what that is.
How do you like being a volunteer?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the more volunteers and more players we can get, the more we can build this team and this whole sport. And I think everyone should join. And
I know. I just put her on the spot. Thank you, Ronnie. That's just from the volunteer point. So I'm gonna have I'll close it out. I'm gonna have two players come up, Joe Higdon and Gene Brown, and they can both give their thoughts of being a player on our team. And just, you know, I know sometimes I ride these guys a little hard, and you know, whether they're, you know, then they're being there for the team. They can understand their roles. So I'm gonna let Joe Higdon talk, and then I'll let Gene Brown talk. So you've gotten the president, you've gotten a volunteer's perspective, and now you're gonna get the player's perspective, and then I'll close it out by saying some things. Joe Higdon.
Unlike my wife, I can talk. I don't talk very good though. You know, I've been a part of the organization for about 5 or 6 years now. It's a wonderful thing, you know, being able to play America's pastime adaptably. You know, like Ron or Book One, I don't know which one said it, our age limit on our team is from 14 to 55. But I'm going to be the first one to tell you, the 55-year-olds ain't out there winning us championships. Yeah, we have a part in it. But the youth on our team is amazing. And, you know, I'm here to pledge whatever, you know, if you know young blind individuals, you know, tell them if they're interested in baseball or interested in athletics, tell them about the Indy Thunder, you know, because they, this past year at the World Series, there's 22 teams, 19 or 8 or 20 inter country teams in Taiwan and Canada. Last year, we had 3 international teams. We actually even had one from the Dominican Republic. So it is a growing sport. I think there are 34, 35 registered teams with the NBBA. So this year, our World Series is in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 2019, and the fields are big enough to where the tournament will probably be at least 25 or 30 teams. So, you know, the competition is fierce. We have an excellent pitcher. We have an excellent coaching staff. And we have a lot of young talent. And let me tell you, the young talent saves me from getting out there and trying to kill myself. So, but I'm there if they need me. So, you know, but, you know, I get in where I fit in. So that's all I got to say. Here's Gene Brown.
Thank you, Joe. Gene Brown from another player's perspective. Gene Brown.
This player's perspective is keep me off that field. No. No, I actually love it. I love the game. I love running, and we get out there and exercise and, you know, keep it moving. And we have really good coaches. Ron's sitting on the bench, but But whenever something's going on out on that field, you see him get up. He'll jump up and start moving around then. And he and Book put their heads together, and Booker, they put their heads together, and they do an excellent job of coaching and making sure that everything's played fair. It's a wonderful game. Lots of competition and just camaraderie. Not just the guys. It's the ladies out there too. All the volunteers and as well as the spotters and the players. We have a great team, and there is also a women's league, and we are looking for more players. So if you're interested in playing, let me know so that we can get you signed up. As well as if you want to play on the indie team, let any of us know, and we'll get you hooked up. I will talk to you later.
Oh, this one.
Thank you, Jean. All right. So my role on the team, like I said, I've been a part of the team since 85, played from like 85 to about 97. So like I let these young guys live vicariously through me, so I'm not ashamed of it. So I can still hit, but I need a pinch runner every now and then. But then I started the Indy Thunder, like I said, in 2000, and Ron's been with me ever since. I've been known Ron since 1985, so that's a long time. And my role basically is to organize the team with the help of our board, and also do a lot of the fundraising with the help of our board and our team. And I always tell our team, you never know who's watching. We have another team here in Indianapolis, and they're based on the south side of town, the Indy Edge. But, you know, and a couple of those guys played for our team at one point in time, but they had a different philosophy, which is perfectly fine. It's a healthy competition. But I truly want to let you guys know the Indy Thunder is Indiana's team. Like about 95% of our roster is from the state of Indiana. Basically, we're Indiana's team. So, and when we win, these titles are for the state and for the city. And because we recruit, our philosophy is we can find talent all up and down the state of Indiana, and it's really sweet to be homegrown and win three straight titles. So you guys should be proud of that this is Indiana's team. Give yourselves a hand. This is you guys' team. And we want to keep it that way. And with your support, with either via in-kind donations or financial donations, that will truly help our team, and it'll help our team grow. The future plans for the Indy Thunder is to start a youth team, just to get blind or visually impaired young kids and their siblings. We want to start that next year, and the names are going to be called the T-Birds, you know, the little Thunderbirds, okay? So we want to start that. We already got a park there where they can play at. Our team is based on the north side of town in the Broad Ripple area, and just to show you what type of support we have throughout the whole city, and we start our league and our practices in January. So you're like, wow, it's cold outside. Well, we have a place that gave us free in-kind donation, a facility to have indoor practices every Sunday starting in January. That's just an in-kind donation. Because, you know, all the Texas teams and California and Taiwan, they practice throughout the whole year round. So I got out there and tried to beat the pavement, and we got an in-kind donation from on the west side of town, even though our team is based in the Broad Ripple area. We practice there every Sunday from 9 to noon at Indy West. So we have that facility from January to the end of March. And then our other practice facilities, we practice at Broad Ripple Park, which is off of 62nd and Evanston, from 2 days on two Saturdays and Sundays, 10 to 1, 9 to noon. And then we practice at the end of May, we practice at Park Tudor School, which, you know, that's a pretty rich school, but they gave us an in-kind donation. So other than that, I just want to let you guys know this. We appreciate all you guys' support, and we look forward to bring you guys another championship. And if you guys know of any young talent, let us know. And like I said, we'll keep the ball rolling. And I'd like to thank the NFB for having me out to speak. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you, man. Lee, want to talk about sponsor? All right. We got a quick comment from Lee Martin.
Okay. I just want to comment as one of the many sponsors that they have. I know that the affiliate helped sponsor this year, and we should give yourselves a round of applause for just being a great sponsor for this Beat Baseball. And see what I'm saying, also help sponsor this year. And I know that they're going for the fourth straight championship. So see what I'm saying, as I already said, we're going to donate $400 for their fourth one. Wish we could donate $4,000, but we do what we can do, and we just trust that anybody else out there can do what you can do to support this great cause, this great team that we have here in the Indiana, a world championship, three-time world championship, back to back to back. Good luck, team. We'll support you.
Yeah, do y'all a little thunder shout. Do y'all a little thunder shout.
Ronald?
Thanks, Lee.
All right, thank you. Let's have a door prize for Sports and Rec and the Indy Thunder and skiing.
All right.
All that good stuff. Fitness is important.
We kind of like that team. I was watching that game in the restaurant, and I made all the people in the restaurant were watching it with me. They just didn't know.
We're out of time, huh? Oh, you were going to talk about it. Here, come on.
Okay, we got some fancy candles here donated by Jean Brown, and we have a purse donated by the Northwest chapter, and we'll put this $15 inside the purse for the Uber ride, because you got to have some money to go with that purse, right? There you go. All right, who's it, Tony?
All right, that's going to go to Corey Wills.
Corey always needs a new purse.
Corey, you want to come up here?
Okay. Real quickly, we have one more item on the Sports and Rec thing is the Bowling League for the Blind that is done on Thursday nights at All-Star Bowl out on 10th in Shortridge. You know, this organization's been around for a really long time. I've been a part of it for about 10 years or so. I know there's several of us in here that are. You know, we come, we have fun, we mingle. It costs $16 a night. I know that deters a lot of people. But let me tell you, that $16 a night pays for your three games bowling. It will also pay for your tournament. It pays for when you go to the tournament. It pays for a part of that. And you know, if we get enough fundraising and things like that, a lot of times it pays for your hotel, your entry fee to the tournament, and also sometimes it even pays for your hotel for the tournament. This year, the tournament is going to be held in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's a lot of fun. So if anybody's interested in checking out the bowling, it's at Thursday night at 6 p.m. at All-Star Bowl on 10th and Shortridge. And I'm telling you, it's a good time. And a lot of good exercise. Yeah, get people out moving. And if for anybody from any other city, like the Northwest Chapter or South Bend or Fort Wayne, you can start your own bowling leagues. And it's a way to, you know, to get the blind community together. There are sighted people that bowl on the leagues too. But the teams have to be, it's a point thing. For a totally sighted, it's 1 point. For a partial, it's two. For a total, it's three. And your points have to equal a certain amount to be a legal team. So 7 points. You can't have all sighted people on one team. You have to at least have a total and a partial on a team. And ours is four per team. So, but you know, if you guys have any interest in trying to get a league going in your town, you can contact my wife, Ronnie, and she might be able to she'll give you the information on possibly how to do that. And, you know, I'm a competitive person, But when it comes to bowling, I just go bowl the pins and hit the pins when I hit them and have fun and see people. So, all right, that's all I have.